بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our discussion with regards to the rulings of As-Sunan Al-Rawatib, As-Sunan Al-Rawatib. We have seen that these non-obligatory salawat, they are sunnatul mu'akkada, and they are highly recommended. And we have seen that the minimum number of them is 10, and the most is 12. And what is best is to pray 12. And there is a great encouragement from this, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a great encouragement for this from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pray 12 rak'ah every day and every night, tatawwu'a, from the voluntary and non-obligatory acts of worship, four before dhuhr and two after dhuhr, and two after maghrib and two after isha, and two before fajr and two before Fajr. And likewise, we have seen that these are coupled with the prayer, and they, meaning that they come with the same time of the prayer, and the time of each one of them is coupled with the time of that specific prayer. For example, the Sunnah of Fajr is not legislated to be performed until the time of the Fajr prayer has entered. And likewise, Dhuhr, the one before Dhuhr, is not legislated until the time of Dhuhr has entered. And the sunnah after dhuhr is legislated until the dhuhr ends. At this time, then the time has passed. So they cannot be performed before the time of the particular prayer that they are coupled with has entered. And they should not be pre-performed after that likewise. And that's the asl. The asl and the foundation or the fundamental principle is that they come attached to each prayer and along with the time of that prayer. But we have seen likewise that also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also an indication of how emphasized these particular salawat are, that if the Prophet would become preoccupied sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he was not able to perform them, then he will make them up. Then he will make them up. And the ulama, they mention a benefit here with regards to making up a sunan ar-rawatib. And that is that it is legislated, and that it is permissible, and that it is allowed, rather it is encouraged, that if one were to miss the sunnah of Fajr, he will make it up after Fajr, either immediately after the obligatory prayer, or he will make it up after the rising of the sun. And likewise, if one missed the sunnah before Dhuhr, he will make it up after Dhuhr, and the likes like this. But this, the ulama have mentioned, is in the case of the one who has intended to pray that prayer. And it's from his customs to pray. Or it's he has made the intention to pray that prayer and he was not able to. He became preoccupied or he forgot. And the likes like this, where the time just went by and he was not able to perform them. But he had the intention to perform them, and rather, normally he will perform them. This type of individual who has this intention, and someone who normally performs them, this is the one who is allowed for him to make them up. As for in the instance of an individual, if he were to know that it is the time of the prayer, and to know that there is a sunnah, for example, before Fajr, and for the time to come and to go, and he has no concern for those two rak'ah, and he has no intention to pray them, and then after the prayer of Fajr is finished, the obligatory prayer, and then he thinks later, you know what, I want to pray the sunnah now, before Fajr, I'll make it up now. It is not allowed for this person to do this. Likewise, another example, someone who had who did not have the intention to pray two rak'ah or four rak'ah before Dhuhr, and he doesn't have the intention whatsoever. And the time comes and goes, and he prays the obligatory prayer of Dhuhr, and then later he thinks to himself, I want to pray the two before Dhuhr, or the four before Dhuhr. And then he'll say, well, I can make them up now. And this is not permissible, and this is not allowed for this individual, because now he has performed them in a time that is not legislated. And he has began them in that time, and it is not from his customs, nor did he intend to pray them in the proper time. So he didn't. It's not as if he missed them in a manner where he can make them up. Rather, he never even intended to perform them properly in the first place. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, "Man amila amala laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa radd." That whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our fear, then it will be rejected. And definitely, it is not from in accordance to the Sunnah or the Deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to perform these prayers in this manner. But rather, the one who was allowed to make them up is the one who intended to pray them. The one who intended to pray them. And he was not able to. Something happened and he became preoccupied, or the time passed him and the likes like this. But he had the intention to pray them. And he missed them. So he missed them. Along with that intention, then therefore it's legislated for this individual to make up the ratibah. Likewise, we have seen also from the ahkam and the rulings of these particular sunan, al-rawatib, is that they should be prayed in the house. And we have seen some of the benefits likewise from that, and the wisdom behind that, and bringing the house to life with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being a role model in the home for the family, and for the children especially, and bringing life to the home with the remembrance of Allah and the worship of Allah azza wa jal, and fulfilling one's purpose in life, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, inwardly and outwardly, in the masjid and in the house, in every situation that an individual may be in. But there is an issue with regards to sunnah al-qabariyah, and this will be with regards to al-fajr, and likewise al-dhuhr, that some of the ulama, they mentioned that it's encouraged for, of course, the imam to pray the sunnah in his house before he comes to the masjid. As for the ma'moom, the one who is praying behind the imam, it's recommended for him to hasten to the masjid. And this is because the place of the imam cannot be taken and his place is established. As for the place or the position of the ma'moom, the one who is praying behind the imam, it can be taken. And meaning the ranks in the first row and having a good position in the prayer. This is preferred for a believer to hasten and to the masjid, to have the first row, or to be near the imam in the prayer and the likes like this, closer to the first row than to delay that and to fall behind by praying the sunnah in the house. So with regards to the fajr, for example, then it's recommended for a believer to hasten to the masjid, and to compete for the ranks, because the ranks they will be taken. As for the position of the imam, then it is waiting for him. As for the ranks in the first row and the second row and the likes like this, the believers, they are competing for them. So in this situation here, with regards to a sunnah al-qabariyah, the one that comes before, for example, fajr, then it's preferred for a believer to hasten to the masjid. And if that's the case, then he will pray the sunnah of fajr in the masjid. He will pray the sunnah of fajr in the masjid. If this was the case, and he prayed the sunnah of fajr, al-ratiba, in the masjid, he will enter the masjid and he will intend to pray tahiyyat al-masjid and this sunnah together. So he will combine with one prayer, two intentions, and he will have the reward for both of them. And this is from the wisdom and from the good understanding and the benefit of learning the intention, that a believer, he will come in the masjid, and not only will he intend to pray the sunnah of fajr, but he will also intend to pray tahiyyat al-masjid, and he will pray them both together in two rak'ah, with two intentions, and together he will make them together. So he will not come in and pray tahiyyat al-masjid and after that pray two more rak'ah for sunnah. Rather, he will intend to pray them both together, and he will only pray two rak'ah, and after that he will sit. Likewise, if a person, he prayed the sunnah before dhuhr in the masjid, he came to the masjid and he wants to pray the sunnah in the masjid, he would intend to pray the sunnah and tahiyyat al-masjid at the same time, and he will couple these intentions in one action, and he will have the reward And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most generous, and He will give him an abundant reward, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he mentioned after this narration that we have been reading, the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar, and what he also had narrated from his sister, Hafsa, radiallahu anhum jami'an. The author, he mentioned narration specific to the sunnah of Fajr. And we have seen that in general, hadhihi as-sunan al-rawatib hiya sunnatun mu'akkada. We have seen in general that these al-rawatib, they are highly emphasized, all of them. They're highly emphasized, and we have seen some of the evidences indicating that. But from them, the sunnah of Fajr is even more emphasized. Akad. It's akad, meaning it's even more emphasized. So to perform these 12, this is highly emphasized. And then to perform the sunnah of Fajr, it's even more highly emphasized. It's even more encouraged. And we read in the author, he says, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل أشد تعاهدا منه على ركعة الفجر. And the print that I'm reading from, it says, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل تعاهدا منه على ركعة الفجر. But the narration, it reads, there's a missing word here, to after تعاهدا, before تعاهدا, أشد. So we say, لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على شيء من النوافل أشد تعهدا منه على ركعة الفجر. So we add the word أشد before تعهدا. Now the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was never more diligent with regards to any of the nawafil the way he was, and in taking and showing care and concern to perform them, and diligence to perform them and to establish them daily, than the way that he was with Rakatay al-Fajr. And in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with regards to al-Nawafil, the non-obligatory prayers, Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions that he was never more diligent in preserving and maintaining ashadda ta'ahudan minhu, ani muhafadatan alayhima, that he was not more severe or more serious or more diligent with regards to maintaining and preserving these anything from Nawafil, the way that he was with regards to the two raka of Fajr, yani the sunnah of Fajr. And the author, he says, وَفِي لَفْظٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ, in one wording by Al-Imam Muslim, رَكَعَتَ الْفَجْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. رَكَعَتَ الْفَجْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. The two raka of Al-Fajr is better than this life and everything inside of it. Is better than this life and everything inside of it. And better than the dunya, all of it. So we see that it is clear in this narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he was diligent to preserve the as-sunan al-rawatib in general, even more diligent sallallahu alaihi wasallam to maintain the sunnah of Fajr and to perform it daily with diligence sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, this is also understood from his actions and his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that even while he was a traveler, he would maintain and continue to pray these two before Fajr. So with regards to a sunan al-rawatib in general, as long as he was a resident sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he was not traveling, he would perform them. He would perform them day in and day out, prayer after prayer. But as for in the case that if he traveled sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he would not perform as-sunan al-rawatib. He would not perform them. He would leave them while he's traveling. He would leave them, and likewise he would shorten his prayers, the ones that are four, the dhuhr and the maghrib, and also the isha. He would shorten them. And likewise, if he was on the road or experiencing hardship and the likes like this while during his traveling, and whenever he's actually on the road traveling, he would also combine sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also he would leave off as sunan al-rawatib, except for the sunnah of Fajr. Except for the sunnah of Fajr. So also that which indicates the great emphasis upon these two rak'ah specifically is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would continue to perform them even while he was traveling. Even while he was traveling, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, whether he was a resident or traveling, he maintained these two rak'ah. He maintained and continued to pray them. And this is what Aisha radiallahu anha, she's referring to, that he was never more serious or diligent with regards to any of the non-obligatory prayers, the way that he was with these two rak'ah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is from his actions. This is from his actions, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he has showed great concern and emphasis with regards to these two rak'ah specifically. But likewise, in the wording that the author he mentioned from Imam Muslim, that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said rak'at al-fajri, and she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said rak'at al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, that the two sunnah rak'ah of al-fajr is better than the dunya and all that it contains. So therefore we see that likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he put great emphasis and showed great concern by way of speech, encouraging the believers to perform these from his actions as well as from his speech, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he put emphasis on these two rak'ah specifically in deed and in speech. In speech and in action, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, these two sunnah, they do not take but a moment. They're very brief, and we will also see from the specific qualities of them is that they are short. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would pray them lightly, and he would make them light, and he would not lengthen them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a believer, he can pray these two rak'ah in just brief moments, and they're better for him. And they're better for him than this life and all that it contains. And they're better for him than this life and all that it contains. And this is for the one who has faith, and this is the one who has iman, and this is for the one who hopes for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the one who does it sincerely for his sake and seeking his pleasure, tabaraka wa ta'ala, that this is better for him than this life and all that it contains. And no doubt everything in this life, it is going away. It is going away. But that which is done for the sake of Allah alone, and that which is done seeking His pleasure alone, according to His legislation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will remain. And the reward of that will remain with a believer. And he will see that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, we see from the specific qualities of these two, hatayni, rakatayn, rakatay al-fajr, is that it is legislated to be performed, or it is legislated for them to be performed in a light manner, التخفيف في أدائها. And it's been narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخفف الركعتين اللتين قبل الصلاة الصبح حتى إني لأقول أقرأ بأم الكتاب أم لا. That Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to lighten the two rak'ah before the morning prayer until the extent that I would say to myself, did he recite the Fatiha or not? Did he recite the Fatiha or not? Did he recite Umul Kitab or not? And meaning that this is indication of the mubalagha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would make with regards to making it light. And this is in comparison to the rest of his prayer at the night time. Because it is known in the night prayer he would lengthen that. The prayer that was before the sunnah, before the coming of the fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would stand in prayer. And he would lengthen the recitation. And in general, likewise, the recitation of the Fajr, we have seen likewise, he would recite from 60 to 100 verses, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So compared to the rest of them, then these particular two rak'ah, they would consider extremely light. They would be considered extremely light. But in any case, that is the case. They were light, but not to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam neglected the tumanina and the khushu', or he performed them in a manner that is hasty, or he performed them in a manner neglecting the pillars and the conditions. La, that's not what is intended. Rather, he performed them and he made them light while perfecting them and fulfilling the requirements that are there. Fulfilling the requirements and the pillars and the conditions and the wajibat and the likes like this and the tumma'nina and the being calm and performing them properly, but he would not lengthen them. He would not recite a long recitation in them, a longer supplication. And this is how a believer, he will perform it in this manner. In this manner, he will say it like this only three times. He will not lengthen the ruku'. The same thing in the sujood. He will not lengthen the sujood. Subhana rabbiyal a'la. like this three times, and he will suffice with that which is from the minimum requirement. From the minimum requirement, he will not increase, and he will not lengthen the recitation likewise, rather he will keep it light, yani as light as possible without neglecting the obligations with regards to the prayer, and the conditions and the pillars with regards to the prayer. Rather he will still perform it properly, but he'll perform it lightly. And likewise, this has been mentioned in the text that we're reading, and the author, he mentioned the wording of Hafsa, radiallahu anha, that she mentioned, or the narration of Hafsa, radiallahu anha, كَانَ يُصَلِّي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ سَجْدَتَيْنِ خَفِيفَتَيْنِ بَعْدَمَا يَطْلُعُ الْفَجْرِ, that he used to pray two light rak'ah after the fajr had risen. After the fajr had risen. This, both of these narrations are mutafiqun alayhima. So we see that likewise from the specific qualities of these two rak'ah, that they will be performed lightly. They will be performed lightly, in a light manner. Not lengthening the standing, nor lengthening the ruku', nor lengthening the sujood. But rather one will suffice with performing the prayer in a light manner, and bringing that which is obligatory to bring, and not increasing over that whatsoever. And perfection and worship is in following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sufficing with that which has come in his sunnah, and taking him as a role model and an example. So someone might think, well, that I have time, I can pray more, I can pray longer, I can pray more than two rak'ah sunnah, or I can, like someone may think like this, or someone could, it would not be a sunnah. And he would say, I can pray more, non-obligatory prayer at this time. And but that's not better, and it's not good, whether it's not legislated. Rather it's not legislated. What is legislated is to pray two rak'ah only. After the rising of the fajr. And to make them light, to not lengthen them. If somebody were to recite a long portion of the Quran and those in the sunnah of fajr, the ulama, they do not say that it's an innovation, but they say it's khilaf al-sunnah. It's contrary to the sunnah. It's contrary to the sunnah. And a believer should be careful to think that he can do something better, or he has a better way than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or doing more than the Prophet is better. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he feared Allah the most, and he was the most upright and righteous. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa imam al-muttaqeen. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi wa huwa al-qudwa al-hasana lil-nasi jami'an. So therefore, following his sunnah is what is required. Also from the specific qualities that have come with regards to these two rak'ah from the ratibah of al-fajr is that it is legislated to recite in the first rak'ah Surat al-Kafirun, and in the second rak'ah Surat al-Ikhlas. And this has come in Sahih Muslim from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He says, أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَرَأَ فِي رَكْعَةِ الْفَجْرِ قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ وَقُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would recite in the two sunnah of Fajr, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and kul huwa Allahu ahad. Also, it has been narrated with regards to the recitation in the sunnah of Fajr, a narration from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, also collected by al-Imam Muslim. And he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في ركعة الفجر قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا in Surah Al-Baqarah. والتي في آل عمران قل تعالوا إلى كلمة قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. The verse that is in Surah آل عمران. So likewise, it is legislated to recite these ayat as well. In the first rak'ah, one will recite the verse from Baqarah. قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي نبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. And in the second rak'ah, he will recite the verse from Surah Al Imran. قول يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا وليتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. So sometimes a believer, he will recite these two verses in Rak'at al-Fajr, and other times he will recite Al-Kafirun, and he will recite Al-Kafirun and Al-Ikhlas. Also, it has come as well in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first rak'ah he would recite قُولُوا آمَنَا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا the ayat that is in Baqarah, and also sometimes another ayat from Ali Imran, from Surah Ali Imran, before this verse, Allah, or after this verse, another verse, وَإِذْ أَحَسَّمْ عِيسَى مِنْهُمْ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَإِذَا حَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمْ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنْصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ to the end of the verse. And even also has been reported in Tahawi, he recited that verse and the verse after it as well. And Allah knows best. So we see that this has been legislated, these particular portions of the Quran to recite in the Sunnah of Fajr. To recite in the Sunnah of Fajr. And we have also read previously the narration of Habiba radiallahu anha that clarifies the number of the Sunnah Rawatib, the 12 rak'ah, which was in Sahih Muslim. We discussed this in our previous classes, alhamdulillah. But there's a benefit in this narration that come in the chain. And at Imam Muslim, the narration is Habiba. And he سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من صلى 12 ركعة في يوم وليلة بني له بهن بيت في الجنة. The hadith that we have studied. But in the chain, we see that there are several tabi'een narrating one of them on the other one. And also we see that the one who is narrating Anum Habiba رضي الله عنها is her brother Anbasa. And before him Amr ibn Aus. And before him Nu'man ibn Salim. So the chain, it goes from Imam Muslim, and there are several narrators before these people that we mentioned, but we mentioned them for a reason. And his chain goes to An-Nu'man ibn Salim, and he's from the Tabi'een. And Amr ibn Aus, and he's also from the Tabi'een. قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي عَنْبَسَةُ ibn Abi Sufyan. And he says, Amr ibn Aus, he says, that عَنْبَسَة ibn Abi Sufyan, he narrated to me. فِي مَرَضِهِ أَلَّذِي مَاتَ فِيهِ in his sickness that he died in. يَتَسَارُّ إِلَيْهِ and that he was so happy to narrate this narration. قَالَ سَمِعْتُ حَبِيبَ he said, I heard Habiba saying. نعم, so Anbasa, he is the brother of Habiba. So he's narrating Anbasa, he's narrating on his sister. He's narrating on his sister. And the one he narrated this to is Amr ibn Aus. And the one who Amr ibn Aus he narrated to is An-Nu'man ibn Salim. And it goes back all the way to Muslim. There were three or four more narrators before Imam Muslim. But the point that we want to discuss is with regards to these particular narrators. And Nu'man ibn Salim, he heard from Amr ibn Aus, who heard from Anbasa, who is the brother of Habiba, radiallahu anha. And he says, I heard Habiba saying, تقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that Habiba, she said, I heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, whoever prays 12 rak'ah in one day and one night, and every day and every night, then a house in paradise will be built for him by way of them. Now we see in the end of the narration, قالت Habiba, Habiba رضي الله عنها, she says, فما تركتهن منذ سمعتهن من رسول الله. She said, I never left these 12 rak'ah after I heard them from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ عَنْبَسَ And her brother, who she narrated this narration to, he says to his student, فَمَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُهُنَّ مِنْ أُمِّ حَبِيبًا He said, I never left these 12 rak'ah ever since I heard this narration from Habiba. طيب, who heard it from عَنْبَسَ Amr ibn Aus. قال أمر ابن أوس ما تركتهن منذ سمعتهن من عنبسة And he said, and I never left these 12 rak'ah ever since I heard this narration from عنبسة Who heard it from Amr? And نعمان ابن سالم قال نعمان ابن سالم ما تركتهن منذ سمعتهن من عمر ابن أوس And نعمان ابن سالم he said, I never left them ever since I heard them from Amr يعني حبيبة radiallahu anha. When she heard this narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did she increase in knowledge, she increased in action. And she spread that knowledge. And the one who she spread it to, her brother. And her brother, whenever he was increased in that knowledge and he heard that benefit, he applied it, and he never left it from that day. And neither did she leave it from that day. And then he narrated likewise to those after him and those after them. And the first thing they would do, they would apply it. Rather, they said that ever since I heard this narration, I never left it in my life. And then here we see another beautiful benefit that is mentioned here. The Anbasa, he said this in his death, at the time of his death. And he's in the sickness that he died in. Wa yatasarrubi, that he is very happy. And he's remembering this now. He's remembering this narration, and he's very happy. He's sick, and he feels at the time of death, but he remembers his whole life. And ever since he heard this narration, he never left it. And so at the time of death, he's hoping for that house in paradise. And he lived his life like that, hoping, striving, making effort to have a place in paradise. And now when death is near to him, he has his hope and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will be a reality, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from him. And he has hope and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The benefit from this is now that we have heard this narration, that Imam Muslim, he has collected and he has narrated to the ummah. So now what should we do? What should we do? Ever since I heard this narration, now I never left them again. That's what we should do. We should follow just like them, just like a Salaf al-Saleh. We should take this they're our role models. They didn't leave that. Ever since they heard this narration, they didn't leave it. So now we heard the narration. What will we do? What will we do? What will we do? We should be sincere. We should strive against our souls to comply to this narration, even though it's not an obligation, but rather to perform it daily. And to perform it with consistency, and to perform it hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there's a beautiful benefit from the commentary of An-Nawawi with regards to this. And he says in this portion of this narration, and the fact that Habiba, she mentioned this, I never left it. Ever since I heard this narration, I never left it. I pray them every day. And Anbasa, he said the same thing. And Amr, he said the same thing. And Nu'man, he said the same thing. Rahimahumullah, radiyallahu an as-sahaba, ajma'in. And now he says, فيه أنه يحسن من العالم ومن يقتدى به أن يقول مثل هذا. That it is proper and it is good for a person of knowledge or someone who was followed to say the likes of this. ولا يقصد به تزكية نفسه. But he does not intend to praise himself. And they're not praising themselves about this situation here. Praising them. When I heard this, I prayed it every day. Praising himself. But rather, what is intended? بَلْ يُرِيدُ حَثَّ السَّامِعِينَ عَلَى التَّخَلُّقِ بِخُلُقِهِ فِي ذَلِكَ وَتَحْرِيضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَيْهِ وَتَنْشِيطَهُمْ لِفِعْلِهِ. But rather, they mentioned that, and it's recommended likewise for a person to mention the likes of this, the one who is a person of knowledge, or the one who is followed and the people look up to him, to mention statements like this in order to encourage them. To encourage them to follow this and to be a means of guidance and light for them. And be like, you know, whenever I heard this narration, I never left it. Not praising oneself, but rather so that the people who hear that from him, they know that this is something serious. And they heard that from their teacher. And they heard that from the one that they look up to, the one that they follow. And this will be a means for them to do the same thing. Just as the brother Anbasa did whenever his sister said this to him, radiallahu anha. And just like his student did likewise, Amr, whenever he mentioned that to him, and his student as well. Nu'man, he followed his sheikh just like that likewise. When I heard this from my sheikh, I never left it. My sheikh told me whenever he heard it, he never left it. And I likewise, whenever I heard it, I never left it. Rather, I applied it, and I lived by way of it. I took it as a sunnah. It's the sunnah of my messenger, and I took it as a sunnah myself. Alhamdulillah, and I benefited from that. So therefore, sometimes it's beneficial for a person to mention the likes of these statements, not as a means of praising oneself, but rather as a means to be a role model in khair, upon goodness, and to encourage the others to follow upon that good that one is upon. To follow upon that good that one is upon. So after this, the author, he mentioned the chapter of Al-Adhan. But before we move on, since we were discussing the topic of these nawafil, we will mention in the coming class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, some of the other non-obligatory prayers that are recommended, but they're not of the status of ar-rawatib. They're not of the status of ar-rawatib. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.